It's the season for scary music, so let's spend a few minutes with a melody that has defined scary since the Middle Ages. It's the Dies Irae, that's Latin for Day of Wrath, and its power is in its first four notes. Dies Irae, Dies Irae, Sole. Well, joining us now is a man who calls himself the Dies Irae Guru, Berklee College of Music professor Alex Ludwig. For the past couple of years, he's been compiling examples of this music in popular film scores. He's up to three volumes now. Alex, welcome. It's a little early, but happy Halloween.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we can hear that eerie chanting there, but what is Dies Irae, the Day of Wrath? Where did it come from?
Yeah, so this piece of music is drawn from the Requiem Mass. So we're talking about music that's been around for 500, 600, 700 years. And it was always chanted during a funeral. So this piece of music is associated right from the start with the Last Judgment. And so the text is, in translation, is talking about fire and brimstone. And so we've got this sort of programmatic sense of darkness and dread coupled with this, the musical material itself.
And how did you get so interested in it that it became a part of your identity?
Well, I teach music history classes here at Berklee, and there is a piece of classical music called the Symphonie Fantastique that appears in a number of my classes. And it quotes this Dies Irae in it. And then I started noticing it in more and more film scores. I also teach a class on the history of film music. So this Dies Irae music started popping up in weird places, and it sort of piqued my interest.
Well, as luck would have it, we actually have that piece of music you're referring to. In 1830, the French composer Hector Berlioz used it in the last movement of Symphonie Fantastique. Here it is. That is some dark music. I mean, you can't hear that without, you know, picturing darkness and shrouds and clouds. In fact, it was used to convey a witch's Sabbath. Why was this piece of music significant in the early days of Dies Irae?
Yeah, so this movement in particular is really fascinating because the symphony as a whole, it tells a story. And it tells the story of an artist and his beloved. And by the time we get to the last movement, this movement that we just heard quoted, the Dream of a Witch's Sabbath, portraying a graveyard at midnight. And what Berlioz, the composer, is trying to portray here is skeletons dancing and witches swirling around a cauldron. And so we hear two things in that clip. We hear the Dies Irae, just sort of the perfect sort of musical accompaniment. But we also heard the church bells tolling midnight. So Berlioz is using all the tools at his disposal to create the spooky atmosphere of a witch's Sabbath.
And what is it about that sound and the music that makes it scary?
First of all, these first four notes, and it's really these first four notes that kind of get excerpted out and have a second life of their own, and we can get to that. But those first four notes, they are very close together. The first two notes are half step apart, the closest interval we have in sort of Western art music. And when you play those in close succession, we feel that dissonance between the two, that half step. But when we look at those four notes as a whole, the first note to the last note outlines a minor third. And so we have this sense of minor music, and we associate that generally with sadness, with darkness, whereas major mode music tends to be brighter and cheerier. So the question is, and this is what sort of fascinates me about the Dies Irae, is this music has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. And are we associating those notes, the music itself, with sadness because the Dies Irae has been associated with this text? Or do we hear these notes as ominous in and of themselves? If we had just played those first four notes, would they be scary? Or is it because we've been thinking about this funeral mass for hundreds and hundreds of years that we connect the notes with this connotation?
Well, that's such an interesting question, because maybe also we have been trained without knowing it to experience that as scary music because it crops up in popular culture so much. So if we fast forward about 100 years from Berlioz to the score for the groundbreaking 1927 German silent film Metropolis, we get this. Well, there it is. So how did we make the jump to film with the Dies Irae?
Well, and that's what's really fascinating to me as a scholar, both of classical music, but also the history of film music, is that in the late 19th century, we see a lot of classical compositions sort of in the shadow of Berlioz. So a lot of compositions that deal with have death in the title. And then the first generation of silent films, capped off by Metropolis in 1927, once we start getting film music, those early composers were really trained in composers of the late 19th century. So it's very easy to guess that they brought that practice from the 19th century into the early 20th century. And suddenly we start to see this Dies Irae a few different times in the early world of talking pictures. And then really once we advance up to the 1970s, it really explodes into much more popular films and becomes much more widely heard.
And we've got some examples here right now of that, starting in 1977, when composer John Williams used it in Close Encounters. Again, in the original Star Wars movie. Here it is in Alien from 1979 at the end of the film with Sigourney Weaver.
This is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo. Signing off.
And then in 1980, here it is in The Shining. So as a casual movie buff or watcher, I never would have made this connection, but clearly the film composers did. Why do you think it is so popular on screen?
Well, and this is where I really get to dig in a little bit, because the more I started to categorize these and list them, I realized that they were occurring in a couple of different variations. In The Shining, we heard the full statement, the full first phrase of the chant. Now, that's pretty unusual. We don't often hear the full statement. Usually what composers have done is focused on those first four notes, that sort of that opening stinger. And so that's where we hear it in Star Wars, especially that burning homestead cue when Luke discovers his aunt and uncle killed by the Empire. John Williams plays that same melody that we've heard again and again, and then he adds in this little tag at the end, those four note stinger of the Dies Irae, sort of emphasizing the death of his aunt and uncle and the fact that he now has to go on this adventure.
And it was also found in Poltergeist in 1982 during that scene when the skeletons are bubbling up in the rainstorm from the bottom of a swimming pool. But what's the scariest example of a Dies Irae that you can think of?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, you were talking about Poltergeist before, and that's a great example. The Omen as well, at the very opening titles of The Omen, both scores by Jerry Goldsmith, who's on my list quite a bit.
All right, well, at your suggestion, we're going to go out listening to the score from The Omen. Alex Ludwig teaches at Berklee College of Music and is the self-described Dies Irae guru. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.